Bob and Charlene Steinkamp, founders of Rejoice Marriage Ministries, invite you into their living room in Pompano Beach, Florida, for a telephone conference call. Let's join other men and women from across the land who are seeking God's restoration of their marriage.
We welcome you to our home on this November 15th. This day I can remember real easy because this is my wife's birthday. When we were discussing what we're going to do, Charlene opted for working the family around the conference call. So here we are.
Amen.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, yeah. Thank you. And I've seen almost all my kids all today and been able to celebrate in the middle of everything. So we're just praising the Lord. What a better day to give the devil a black eye than on my birthday to get marriages restored. I can't think of anything more important to do.
Amen.
We have Robert with us from Pennsylvania and Nancy from Texas. And you'll learn a little bit more about them as the afternoon goes along. And we're going to talk a bit today about going through the holidays while standing. And also we're going to do some Back to the Basics 101 of standing, I believe Charlene has planned for a bit.
Yes. Okay. Lord, we just come to you and we just praise you and thank you. Thank you so much for all these people that are going to be calling in between now and the next hour and a half. And Lord, we just ask that you would just open their spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, open their heart that is so wounded, so crushed, so feel like it's devastated that they just cannot even make it some days. Lord, we just ask that you would be the greatest physician today. You'd be the greatest counselor. That you would touch all of these, every single one of these people that are representing a family, representing a husband, representing a husband or wife that is missing prodigal children or children that are home that are wounded and hurting and crying, the littlest ones as babies and the oldest as ones that are adults that still don't understand why a mother or father are doing what they're doing. Lord, we just ask that you will just resurrect and bring life back to dead marriages. We ask that you will breathe in to these hurting families and marriages and bring life to their marriage. Rekindle, reignite the love where a spouse says, I don't love you anymore. In fact, I probably never loved you, but our love is dead, and I'm happy. I'm going on with my life. You need to go on. Lord, we have asked that you would touch all these people who have heard these horrible words and been wounded and crushed. We ask that you would touch their hearts today as if they were in coronary care unit and touch them and heal their wounded hearts today, as it says in Isaiah. You will heal the brokenhearted. Lord, we ask that you would just open their ears, open their hearts and minds, renew their minds, that they could take all of their wrong thoughts, wrong thinking, the lies from the enemy, all the world's way of thoughts and beliefs, and take all of that and just renew their mind to the mind of Christ, that they would start to think, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? And how would I react? And Lord, we just ask that you would just bless us as we talk about going through the holidays, but going back to the basics. And Lord, that nothing is too hard with you. And we just give you the praise and the glory for this special day that we can talk about getting through the holidays, and that you are the one that paid the price. You died on the cross for all sinners, which includes all of our spouses, all our family members, and especially the husband and wives who are missing right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have two of the women from Rejoice Pompano who always come and sit in our living room and pray for this call while it's underway. So Beatrice and Beverly are here with us today. And also Allison, our granddaughter, is here.
Yes, Beatrice and Beverly have been the faithful ones for so many years praying, and we just praise the Lord for them coming today. So we are just blessed. So,
speaking of praising the Lord, I want to praise the Lord for the people who contribute money. We're not asking you guys to contribute, but there are people who support this money ministry who give money on the weekend that we have this conference call every month so that we can offer you toll-free. It's only 7 cents a minute, but multiply that by an hour and a half or 90 minutes times 100 and something people, and it gets rather expensive. But I just want to thank the people who have already given money so the call is paid for. And you didn't even know that, did you, honey?
No, I didn't. So
okay.
I knew part of it came in yesterday, so we just praise the Lord, for God is so awesome. And the call has always been paid for within less than an hour after we even finish. So we just praise the Lord.
Not to ask you guys for money because this is covered. So
we just praise the Lord for God's faithfulness.
We just pray that there's something that you'll get today that will help you make it through this week and through this month and through next month of December that's a better Christian and a better standard.
Well, what we want to do today is talk, and before I talk to our guests, I want to do a little mini little teaching, as I always do, and it's first is we need to prepare our hearts, and I pray that every one of our hearts are going to be prepared for Thanksgiving and for Christmas and for the holidays that are coming along, and I think there's many wedding anniversaries. I've heard of many divorces through the holidays right now. We're having many divorces that are being done right now, and every time I hear of a divorce court hearing and a divorce date, I just pray that it gets canceled because we just don't want them around the holidays. We don't want them ever to happen at all. But I want to go to Luke 17 to start our teaching today because I want us to count our blessings. And I know that seems impossible, but I know as Bob and I listen to other pastors and other teachers when we're going to church, is that every pastor and every teacher or any person on the radio, and you're going to hear for the next few weeks, is we need to count our blessings one by one. And there was a song that Bob and I grew up with when we were in church, and it says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. And that's just the chorus. But I want you to...
You remember the first verse of that?
No, but you do.
Run upon the billows, you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged and thinking all is lost. So that describes, I think, probably everyone who's listening today.
That certainly does.
Count your many blessings, count them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done.
Well, that's perfect. Because what I would love you to do is what we heard this morning early, is write a list. Get a piece of paper sometime today, tomorrow. Write down 20, 25 blessings that you have right now that you may not think of. And, you know, Bob and I have electricity. Bob and I have a house over our heads. And even though we may be going through trials and tribulations, and right now our granddaughter is in the hospital, and we pray you will pray for Ashley today, that she will, she's been there for 5 or 6 days, and we just need the doctors to be able to find out what's wrong with this dear 3-year-old, and they can't find it, and they keep doing different tests, and she had one today where they had to put her to sleep. So just pray for Ashley that she gets healed, and the great physician will touch her. But we're counting our blessings that they've been able to treat her and be able to have all these doctors work together as a team. So even in the darkest storms you're going to be in, we want you to look for that silver lining. And I believe that every one of you that are listening to us today, that your walk with the Lord is probably so different than it was when you had your marriage problems start, because that is the beginning of where the Lord usually starts us. So I want to take you to Luke chapter 17, verse 11. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and carried and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Well, I can tell you that's what we probably all should cry out. Have pity on us right now. Look at our families. Look at what is going on with my children. Look at what is happening to me. And that's probably where you are right now, for the Lord understands that. He says when he saw them, he said, go, show yourself to the priest. And as they went, because they were obedient to their Lord Jesus, they didn't ask 10 or 15 questions. Well, why am I going? I'm not allowed. I have leprosy. They had to go show themselves to the priest, and they still looked very sick. But as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him as he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." He had a thankful heart. He thanked the Lord for his healing before he went to the priest. And you know what? We need to be thankful. And we need to thank the Lord each and every day for all that the Lord gives us and helps us through each and every day. And sometimes through Thanksgiving and through Christmas, we can become very bitter. We can become very mad, very angry, and say, "I've had it. I'm not going to do this any longer. Everybody has encouraged me to get on with my life. And everybody is saying I'm a fool. And why would I want my husband, the jerk, or my wife, who is unfaithful, back?" Well, that is because you're listening to what the flesh is saying through these people, or the enemy speaking through these people. And we have got to say, you know what? I'm not going to listen to what the others are saying. I'm going to listen to what my Lord is saying. And I'm going to seek my Lord and be thankful for many things. So I hope all of you will be challenged before Thanksgiving. Even make it a game for your grandkids, your kids, or even friends who say they've got so many problems. Say, "Hey, you know what? Why don't you get a piece of paper and write down how many things you do have?" And all of a sudden, we will find out that we have so many more things that God is providing for us in different ways that we can even begin to say. So I just want us to have different ways to be thankful. Because, yes, Bob and I are not going to ever tell you that it is easy to go through Thanksgiving and Christmas and the New Year without your spouse and without all the memories and all the good memories, or even some bad memories, or maybe it was last year when they left, or maybe they left after the holidays. You're going to have a lot of memories come up, and they can hurt and they can make you cry. But you know what? It's okay to cry, but I want you to think, and we want to get you by the end of this hour and a half to be positive, to say, "I can do it." So we want to introduce Nancy, and we'll do the women first. And we're glad to have Nancy with us. And we're just going to ask her to share a little bit about herself, her walk with the Lord, how she came to know the Lord, and about her stand, when she how she started to stand. Nancy, we're glad to have you.
Oh, well, thank you. Every day I wake up and I'm still here, I just praise the Lord. I grew up in a home that was very, we'll say dysfunctional, but I knew my parents took me to church, and I had known God at an early age, but it wasn't until I began to see and experience the destruction of my marriage that I found out I knew a lot about God, but I didn't really know God. And you know, I had been saved as a child and just was content to know where I would go if I died and never really went deeper than that. And, you know, I met my husband and we married very young, and life was wonderful for a long time, I thought, but I didn't realize that the world was creeping in on me, and I began to hold myself to its standard rather than to the Lord's. And I was one of those people that was very not knowledgeable in God's will and in the Word of God. And so when the devil started firing big guns on my marriage, I responded in the classical woman scorned, unfortunately, and just in my anger sinned a lot. And when I found out that, of course, you know, when I received the news that the divorce was coming and departure was imminent and became aware of the other person, I really got mad at God at first, because I was praying and I didn't understand why he wasn't going to just fix it. And that was in April of this year. And I'm so grateful to a dear brother and friend who introduced me to Rejoice Marriage Ministries. And through the teaching, I was able to just connect with the truth of God's Word. And I understand in a different way now the passage, "The truth will make you free." Because and I think a lot of standers will relate to this. What I wanted back in April was for the pain to stop, and it wouldn't. And nothing that any preacher or friend or anybody could tell me, or a song I could hear on the radio. Sometimes things would ease it, but the pain would never stop. And what I was able to learn through really delving into the Word and listening to the teachings of people who have gone before me, unforgiveness was what was keeping the pain alive. And once I was able to do that, and at the beginning of my stand, and really, though I had professed it with my mouth, I hadn't allowed God to work through me, address what he needed to address with me in my life. And the point that I began to forgive my husband for everything that had happened and seeing my hand in it, and understanding then that, you know, his thoughts aren't his own anymore. He's been taken captive. And when I began to really see him, and I asked God to allow me to see him and love him like he does, that's when, I won't say it got easier, but that's when the pain stopped. And then it became about just not growing weary and about growing closer to the Lord and really understanding that I had not been the wife or the daughter that God had wanted me to be and that the Bible was telling me how to be, because I just wasn't interested. I was successful by the world standards. We had a wonderful marriage, a wonderful life together, and it was an illusion. I say all the time, you know, there was all these things I thought I knew about marriage, and, you know, we'd had when we'd been married in the minister, and God was very much a part of our wedding, but he wasn't a part of our marriage. And that's why, you know, when the big attack came, I wasn't ready. And I wasn't able to respond like Jesus. But I thank the Lord all the time that he is a God of second chances, and I see that over and over again in the Bible. And so I'm just grateful that I know this is not the end, and I just have to be patient and wait, and then in his time, as I just continue to try and get myself right with him, I know that he's working on the other side of the mountain. And my prayer all the time is just that, you know, that I could reach other people and share the truth with them, because when I was bleeding all over the place and looking for something to make the pain stop, I was hearing move on, and it's okay, and I have the escape clause and so on, and I needed somebody who would be able to do what this ministry does, which is give me that third option. It's not divorce or continue in misery. There is a third option, and I'm just so grateful for that.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you. We're thrilled to have you. And yes, you are a newer stander, and we invited you specifically for that because we wanted to have people understand that we know what it is like when you're in that first year of pain and suffering and going through the shock and the trauma and the pain. And we just thrilled to have you. And let me share two scriptures for all you, and I'm sure you know, and for all the others that may all be new or do not know this, but forgiveness is a huge key to freedom and standing and victory in your own personal walk with the Lord. And we teach about forgiveness a lot. I guess I could teach about forgiveness every day, because sometimes we pick up and become angry and bitter, and the devil tries to deceive us and allow that unforgiveness come back into our heart. But at the end of the Lord's Prayer, you know, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And it says that and reminds us of that every day. We should pray the Lord's Prayer because it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And verse 14 is key. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And I don't think a lot of us realize that forgiveness is very important for us to keep asking God and keep forgiving your spouse each and every day of the week, every hour, especially if they happen to call and scream. And as soon as you hang up or as soon as they walk out of the house, say, Lord, forgive me if I've said anything wrong, and forgive them for what they've said, and that we do not hold grudges. And that's another teaching that we'll do later in just hopefully in a few minutes. But it says also in Matthew 18, verse 21, and Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And he was thinking he was being very generous. But Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. 490. Forgive, 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 and forgive. And that is a key to marriage restoration. It's a key for us to be able to walk in victory. It's a key that we can be able to walk the walk and not have the anger, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, And if we do not get rid of that unforgiveness, we are going to become very bitter and angry and just have fits of rage because we have been stuffing down that unforgiveness. And so I ask you, every one of you, are you battling unforgiveness? Are you so angry, so upset by what they're all doing right now or what they're doing and continue to do daily or and throw it into your face? You need to just get on your knees and cry out and ask the Lord to please show you, give you that spirit of unconditional love and also to pour in the spirit of forgiveness into your heart that you can receive it and just all of a sudden it's going to flow. It's just going to come. Just keep forgiving them or listing all the things that you can think of what they've done to you and just say, Lord, I forgive them for this. Forgive them for that. Forgive them. And I'm going to bring in Robert at this time because forgiveness is so important, but we've got to get Robert in here to represent his the men and he can share about his walk with the Lord and his how he started standing.
Well, thanks, Charlene. I honestly am not sure when I became a Christian because I can't remember. I was fortunate to grow up in a godly home. My parents loved the Lord, and I just remember from my first memories were our home was a God-centered home and prayed at a table and learning Bible stories and worshiping as a family and worshiping at church. And when I was 14, I made a public confession of my faith, and I met my wife actually at through church functions, and we've been married now about 26 and a half years. And but about 4 years ago, actually, earlier this month, crossed an anniversary I never wanted to have, and that was when my stand started, really. There's a really hard thing for me is there's just so much I don't understand. It just seemed like things were going so well in our home, in our family, in our marriage, in life in general. One day and the next day, my feet were just taken out from under me, and things just started to collapse. And I obviously won't go into any details, but I will, in all candor, I still don't understand a lot of that. And but through this past 4 years, I know that while I have always been a reader of God's Word, and I had memorized probably hundreds of verses over the years. I'll tell you, there's been nothing like the last 4 years to draw me into a deeper walk with the Lord. And I don't mean that to say in any way like I'm, any super stander or any, I've made a lot of mistakes in my marriage and in a lot of ways. But, one of the things that's been hard for me is, sometimes you feel like all this happened because God's punishing me. And I went through a time of really, trying to figure out what that was. And I don't think that's what was happening. I don't know for sure, I don't know all the whys and hows, and I may never know. But God did from the beginning impress on me that, he wanted me, I'd never heard the term standing for my marriage, but I think that's what I labeled it from the beginning. And for about, I think it was about 2.5 years that I was doing, my version of standing, and God was revealing so many things to me. And one day a friend of mine who was going through some difficulties sent me a Charlene Cares testimony, and I've been reading them faithfully ever since. But and it was such an encouragement to me because I had gotten to the point of, seeking to be faithful and standing for my marriage for, 2.5 years, and just feeling like I was the only one who really, you know, I had friends, I had Christian friends who encouraged me. I had my own, you know, brother, for example, just strongly encouraged me, believing that that's, you know, this is the right thing. So I had people that encouraged me, but I literally didn't know people who were doing the same thing, didn't know of people doing the same thing, and you feel like you're the only, you know, I guess like Elijah, you know, I alone, you know, and it wasn't true. It was such an encouragement to start to find out that there are thousands of, and I don't mean to say it, that I'm encouraged that there are 1,000 people in a similar situation. I wish there were no one in the world in the same situation, but it's such an encouragement to know that there are thousands of people who have chosen to stand, even when we don't understand, we'll still stand, and that and God is faithful, and to hear the testimonies of restored marriages, and to hear, Charlene, your experience, and you know that you've battled all the same things I'm battling, and how God revealed things to you, and how He's revealed things to other standards, and I've seen that, you know, it was such a confirmation that all these things that I, you know, it's not like I can see Jesus Christ in the flesh telling me these things. I believe it's Him revealing them to me, and when I found that He has revealed, you know, almost sometimes it was like the exact same words or the exact same scriptures that were so meaningful to you and others, the same ones that are just, you know, were meaningful to me. And so it's just been a huge encouragement to know that God is working in so many people's lives in a similar way. And, you know, sometimes people find restoration sooner than others, but, you know, He just keeps on encouraging me to hold on and to trust Him. Over and over, the message I'm getting is, trust me.
Trust is an awesome, awesome word. It's like faith and hope and trust. Bob is saying we need to go back to the basics. When he reads the email every day and letters, he says, I don't think they understand the basics, which is walking in faith and that blind faith that we hear about in Hebrews.
Well, you know, even the questions we received for today kind of bear that out also.
Right. And Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And this is what the ancients were commended for. And by faith, the whole chapter of faith is Hebrews chapter 11. And if you have not read that recently, go read it tonight, because verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And I know that Robert and Nancy are both saying, as I have said a million times, that if we will just get on our knees, cry out, sit in a chair, get on our bed, whatever we do, whatever position we go in, and cry out and say, Lord, I need you. I want you to help me through this. I surrender everything to you. I give you my body, soul, and my spirit. I give you my family. I give you my finances. I give you my job. I give you everything. Just show me what you want me to do.
Can I jump in there a minute?
Please.
I heard someone say once that it's not the position of our knees when we pray, but the condition of our heart.
Right.
And sadly, we hear from people who are filled with bitterness, who are filled with unforgiveness, and they want to know why nothing's happening in their marriage. I wrestle with the same things as a prodigal, and now 20-plus year later, prodigal returned. So I think I can bring it up, but we need to get a lot of things out of the way to open that channel between us and God if we want our prayers answered.
Right. And we need to persevere. You know, and if you go back in Hebrews chapter 10, people, I'm giving you scriptures. You need to get pencil and paper in your Bible, but you need to persevere. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 on down, to chapter 11, it calls us to persevere. And We need to live a new way and draw me to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance of faith, having our hearts cleansed and from a guilty conscience. And we need to not throw away our confidence, but we will be richly rewarded, verse 35. You need to persevere, verse 36, so that when you've done the will of God, which is what you and I and what Robert is saying, I want to do the will of God. Nancy, I want to do the will of God. You will receive what he has promised, for in a very little while he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And that's what we're praying for you today, that you will take that torch of faith and run with it. Run with it like the Olympics, that we are going to hold on and walk in faith, blind faith, until the Lord brings our spouse home and that they are repenting and they're confessing their sins and they're turning around and they're changing. And sometimes they don't come home totally repentant, but they're home and they're home because God brought them home, but now we still got to pray for their salvation. We still got to pray for their heart to have a transformation. But persevere in doing the will of God. You will receive what he has promised. But my righteous one must live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. And there's that word, believe. You know, Robert just mentioned trust. We need to believe. We need to trust the Lord. We need to walk in faith. We need to have hope. We need to have confidence. And you're all saying to me, I can't see anything different. In fact, Charlene and Bob, it's getting worse. Yeah, it's getting worse. You know why? Because you're praying. Because you're believing for a huge miracle. And the devil is trying to say, if I pour on all these other more circumstances, they're going to quit.
Could you compare it with a beehive? When you have a beehive under the alcove of your house, if you want to get rid of it, you go to knock it down. When you start knocking on the thing until it falls, the bees are going to really swarm.
Right. Well, that's a good example. I wish I thought of that. But it is. And
well, we are one flesh, and so you did think of it.
Okay, good. Thank you. I'll take that.
But you know, Charlene, can I add something?
Jump in, please.
You know, while you're in Hebrews and you're talking about perseverance, I just wanted to share a verse that it's actually I read yesterday. I actually journaled this because it was so meaningful, and it's so, to me, on the point of standing. But it's in the first two verses of Hebrew 12, and I'm going to quote actually from the New Living Translation. It's very similar, but I actually love the word. It was the one I read, and what I wrote in my journal is just quoting from it, I just took pieces of the two verses, and it says, "And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus." And, you know, I just wrote, wow, Lord, in a nutshell, this is my stand. And I wrote 3 points that come out of those three verses. Number one is endure. And he's calling us to, NIV, it says perseverance. In the NLT, it's endurance. But he's calling us to persevere or endure. Number two, it says the race God has set before us. So I said, this task of mine is from you. I mean, there's a lot I don't understand, but I believe that God has actually given me a privilege of standing for my bride and for my family and for his glory. And I don't know what it all means. I just know that that's what I'm called to do. And number three, he shows me how to do it, how to endure, and it's or to run the race with endurance. And that is it's going to sound simple, and it's not easy to do, but it's a very simple task. We're supposed to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. By keeping my eyes on you, Jesus, is what I wrote. And to me, that's, you know, I know that when I fail in my stand, it's because I'm putting my eyes on my circumstances. And I know Bob and Charlene, you both talk about this a lot, but it's so true. I find it every time that if I'm failing, it's because I'm looking away from Jesus and toward either my own circumstances or my own weakness instead of on Him.
Well, Bob, Robert, let me jump in and say another thing that we can be tempted with from the enemy, who is out to steal, kill, and destroy everything that the Lord wants to give us, is that, as it says in John 10:10, the Lord says, I've come to give life abundantly, but the devil said, I've come to steal, kill, and destroy everything. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is that I hear, and Bob and I hear, is that the person says, I can't do this anymore. This is too hard. I hurt too much. It's too long. Or I see no evidence.
Or everybody says,
Good,
whatever.
But you know what? The key, here's another key that we're talking about today, is that we need to endure, and we need to persevere and run the race marked out for us. Accept the assignment, accept the race, but then keep our eyes on the Lord, who says He will perfect our faith. And it, think of, you know what? It's not about me.
Right.
And a lot of people will get tempted, and then we'll hear from a stander who cries out to us 6 months, a year or two later, and said they fell into sin, fell into a trap, fell into another relationship, and to the point that some have even married and come back out of that marriage, of that non-covenant, legalizing adulterous relationship, coming back to being standing because they never had peace. But what the problem is they wanted to fix that loneliness, that pain, the pain of me. And you know what? That's one of the things that when I died to the Lord and surrendered everything, I surrendered my marriage to saying, Lord, I'm married for life, and that's what you're telling me over and over in every scripture that I kept reading. And He said, I want you to walk and talk married, live married, act married. Don't go out with men. Don't even open yourself up to that. Because in 1 Corinthians 7:10, it says, to the married I give this command, not I, but the Lord, a wife must not separate from her husband. But if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And a husband must not divorce his wife. That came to me like a rhema word, like a scripture leaped off the page to me. And it was like my instructions. You're to act married, you're to live married. And once that happened, and once I had children, so with Nancy, that's not the same situation, but even if you don't have children, you can make a purpose that you'd... I just went to a wedding with our secretary's daughter, and I have thought about it a million times, even wrote about it, because the pastor spent an hour telling them over and over, you're married for life, the permanence of it. So you know what? It doesn't matter if we've conceived children yet. It's what we're standing and fighting for, that our marriage is we're one flesh, no matter what. So we need to fight for that marriage forever. And that's the importance. Nancy, jump in.
I do. I'm thank you. Because I've been dying to say, since that same scripture came to me when I realized that my two choices were to live with God as my husband and single the rest of my life, or travail in prayer to get Him back. And at that point, it really wasn't very hard to decide which one I wanted. And I really was able to use that scripture a lot, again, with so many people who were saying, you know, like, He's gone. Like, you need to wake up to the fact that, you know, He's gone. Your marriage is over.
The favorite, you need to get on with your life.
Yes. And, like, time heals all wounds and so on. And I just... But
God,
the thing
have
that
someone better for you?
I do. I want the restored version of my husband. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm doing everything
like
I can. I'm doing everything. A wonderful God spoke to me in a line from a movie, and she said to a missionary that she waited for many years to return him and marry her. She said, "When you come home, I will know that you are the version for me that God intended."
Whoa.
And I clinged to that in those days when I'm just like, you know, this is really hard. You know, when you're just in the grocery store or you're sitting in a restaurant and you see couples and families, and those are the times that it's very hard, you know, to just reaffirm to yourself, you know, I'm committed to wait for my one flesh husband forever. And the thing that I wanted to say was, you know, we learned in school that when Cortez got here from the New World, he burned his ships. And that's what I tell myself all the time, you know, when the devil tries to tempt me, just, you know, to make the loneliness more real and, you know, sending me temptations, I just think, you know, I burned my ships. I told everybody that I am going to wait for him forever. So that's what I got to do.
Nancy, when your husband comes home, or Robert, when your wife comes home, or any of the people that are listening, when their spouse comes in, as time passes and the healing starts over that first couple of years, they're going to say just what I said. How in the world did you do it? From what I was going through, how do you keep your sanity? So from you guys, what are some practical tips for not looking at your circumstances?
Well, for me, I read my Bible a lot, just because when I have a very difficult time controlling my thought life, which is where the real battle goes on with circumstances, because, you know, when you sit down and you look at the stack of bills or the truck breaks again, or, you know, it's just like, okay, you know, do I get gas or buy cat food? Those are the times that, you know, I just have to remember to pray, and that prayer is a constant God conversation. I very rarely say amen, and I just try and pray. But when it starts to just get really bad and I get discouraged, I just crack my Bible to wherever my bookmark is, and I start there. Because in the beginning, like I said, one of the strongholds the devil used with me was in my anger to get me to sin. And so when I feel that coming on again, I just read my Bible, or I put on some Christian music and just get, you know, praise and worship music going, because that's really the way that I can calm myself down and just be like, you know, we did stop thinking about how long this is going to take, how long it's already been. Let's just think about right now, and God is still here, and, you know, like, he's still working, and just be patient, because the verse that says, they that wait upon the Lord, shall mount up, help me, Charlene.
Isaiah 40. Shall renew their strength.
Yes. And I said, you know, I'm not going to get my strength renewed if I'm not willing to wait on the Lord. And that's what I just have to remind myself. But just reading my Bible or just praying and just, you know, putting on praise and worship music is what really helps me. I don't know if it's the same for Robert.
Well, I think I totally agree with that. I mean, I think having alone time with the Lord, you know, sometimes you're busy and you're discouraged, and, you know, there are times it's just like, I can't wait till I can just be at home. I mean, I'm sort of in my home alone most of the time, but, you know, I still like to go to a bedroom or a closet and shut the door and just be alone with the Lord, and there is nothing like that to help me. The other thing is what you started out with, Charlene, the thankfulness. I find that when, and this never gets to be as fast. So far, I haven't. It's not. It sometimes takes me a day or two to figure it out, and it should just be automatic by now. But when my joy is gone, it's almost, I've found it to be almost 100% of the time, if I stop to think about it, I'm not being thankful. I'm not stopping to thank the Lord. I mean, I might thank him for my food at mealtime, but I'm not really stopping to count my blessings. I'm not really doing that. And when I do, when I, you know, I've found a couple times I've been really discouraged, I've just decided, okay, I'm going to go to Colossians. It's a short book. I can read the whole book in a sitting. And Colossians is such a book of, you know, if you can't get thankful, read Colossians. This is the way I view it. It's helped me so many times.
Colossians chapter 1, 9 to 14 is an excellent prayer you can pray daily for your spouse also.
Can I just follow up with one more thing?
Yes.
Because I can't believe I left this out. But I have a little notebook that stays with my journal where I keep my scriptures that I pray daily. But in it, I have some pictures of us from before and some cards that that, you know, he had given me. And when I start to really lose sight of the fact of, like, because there's two parts to do this. First, to stand for your marriage. First, because God said so. But first, because I love him, and I want that person back. And you know, when I start to listen to too much when people are like, why? You know, and I start to ask myself that, I go back to some of those cards and letters and pictures, you know, and I remember that before the enemy came, it was good. you know, and I'm able to get those cards out, you know, and just look at them. And I'm very grateful because, like I said, in my anger, I sinned. And I threw a lot of stuff away, but, you know, God knew to preserve those things for, you know, like I said, when it just gets to really be lonely here, that I can pull that out and you know, and just read them and remember that, you know, he loves me. The devil has him tricked right now, but, you know, that it wasn't always this way. And I think the longer you go in your stand, sometimes if you're not careful, you can forget what it was like, and knowing that just if you endure and let the Lord fight this for you, that it's going to be even better when it's restored. And I know you guys know that.
Right. And the scripture that you have referred to, I want to go back to and read the whole thing instead of just one part of it. Isaiah 40 says, and I'm going to go back a little bit because I want us to get to know who God is. It says, verse 25, to whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Lift your eyes. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. He's calling all the stars by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, O Jane, or Judy? Or complain, O Israel, or Bob, or Steve, or Ken. My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, and that's who we're all at right now. He gives strength to the ones who are going to go through Thanksgiving, through the difficult times. He is with you, with your kids misbehaving in school and having timeouts and getting F's or D's. He is with you to help you get through these difficult times. He will give strength to the weary, increase the power of the weak. Even the youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope, or another version will say, wait in the Lord. Don't give up. Will renew their strength and will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And that is the scripture that all of you can claim and believe and remind yourself. And there's another scripture that is in Isaiah 41. I've got to share it because it says, and this is one for me, because my husband had a temper. He was abusive. And some of you say, well, you don't understand what my marriage was like. My marriage was not good. I don't have all those fantastic memories. Oh, yes, you do. You have good days and bad days, and you had your ups and downs, and even your kids can remember the good things and the bad things. But it says, you are my servant. I've chosen you and have not rejected you, so do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When you are weary, when you're tired, when you're discouraged, when you feel oppressed, depressed, I want you to cry out and say, Lord, hold my hand. I need you today. I need help to get through this difficult day. And all who rage against you, and I know we've all had telephone calls or visits of all how bad and horrible things are, and even when you're married, you have those things. And it says, all who rage against you will be surely ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose will become as nothing and perish. Though you search for enemies, you will not find them. The other person that maybe you think is just consuming your spouse right now, and that they have broken up. They broke up. We thought it was over, and then they've gone back together again and patched it up. Bob and I could tell you how many phone calls my husband would call me and say, all right, I've had a fight with the other person, and that's it, you know, and he would start telling me all this garbage. And I'm thinking, why do I even need to know this? Because the Lord wants you to know how to pray. And if you get any information about the other situations or other battles that your spouse is going through, just from a family friend, neighbor, whatever, you're thinking, yeah, they're having a rough time, they're having financial troubles. No, that is to tell you how to pray for your spouse. You're to bless those who persecute
you. But Charlene, take credit that you did not go snooping to find out this stuff about me.
Well, I agree. I had a rage at the beginning, which everybody has heard about, me chasing them in my car.
Well, I experienced it.
But there is a point where we finally say, Lord, if you want me to know anything, you're going to reveal it to me. Otherwise, I'm not going to go hunting or looking. I'm not going to try to, you know, get everybody
What happens, and this happened to me when I tried to find out things about you from that Saturday incident. When you go looking for things to find out that stuff about your spouse, Satan is ready to put the wrong stuff in your way to make you believe it's fact. I called the house one Saturday morning about picking up the kids, and a man answered the phone. And I said, may I speak to Charlene? Or he answered the phone, Charlene's house. May I speak to Charlene? She's not available. And by that time, my blood was literally boiling. It turned out to be all on the level. It was a church friend, some people from church, including he and his wife had come to fix up some things around our house that I had just let go. And the wives had gone out somewhere, and she wasn't available. The phone rang, and he picked it up. But if I hadn't called with the mindset of, let's see what I can find out, it never would have happened.
The funny part is, he gets jealous, and I am trying to get the house just even and holding up together. And I know that God has sent so many angels and so many people from churches and many other means to help standards who have things falling apart. And we just praise the Lord for the churches and the men and women who support the standards to help them. And that's what we need for this winter.
And, you know, we also have parents who are standing for children.
Yes.
Which is so important.
And we received a question. One of them, a question, may have been last time, Bob, is, can mothers and fathers stand for their children, and can you make a difference? And that without a shadow of a doubt, yes, your prayers are just as powerful. And remember, you're praying for your children till the day they die. You're praying for your grandchildren, and your prayers do make a difference. You know, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Let me jump back to Robert's great 3.3-point sermon he outlined a minute ago. Robert, that would preach. But, Charlene, doesn't he remind you of Merlin Crothers?
I thought of that book when he mentioned it.
You want to tell about it?
No, go ahead, you.
Okay. Merlin Crothers, C-R-O-U-T-H-E-R-S. And his first name is Merlin, M-E-R-L-I-N. He's now an older man. He has a book that is really great, and we have some copies of it that we give out from time to time. It's called Prison to Praise. And he says, no matter what, you give praise. That's how you handle any situation.
And, you know, praise defeats the enemy, as Nancy said, and that's what we need to do. We need to keep praising and thanking the Lord. And the more you praise Him, and the more the blessings we receive, you know.
Yeah.
In Romans 12, it says, verses 9 to the end, it talks about loving and all the things, hate what is evil, but it says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. And a lot of people say that their family, moms, dads, brothers, uncles, cousins, are all saying, why are you enabling them? Why are you allowing and being so nice to your, if you just let that your spouse crash, you know, tell them get on with your life, divorce them, get rid of them, you know. But, you know, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus says, you know, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, be the good Samaritan. You know, throughout the Bible, bless those who curse you. You know, over and over throughout the Bible. I think that's why I think you heard from Robert, you've heard from Nancy, is that when you get desperate, you don't pick up the phone, you go to the Bible and pick up the Word. And I think that is one of the problems that our standards have, is that we've got to get into the Word and have a Bible in every room, or do whatever you need to do, or turn on that praise music. I'll tell you, there are some songs that I could jump up and down with that are so powerful that just answer, just touch me, that I can hear a song and I can shout for victory regardless of what the situation is with our family, our children, our grandchildren, or our standards, because the music ministers to me and heals my wounded or broken heart or whatever. So we need to bless those. And as it says in that Romans 12, it says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful, do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And you know what? That's a hard lesson to do, but that's what we need to apply to our hearts.
So, Charlene, can I say one thing?
Yes.
Okay, because this has become so prevalent in my life, and is that I shared with somebody that I had to focus so hard on learning how to forgive one person that I got really pretty good at it with everyone else. And I think that that's something you begin to experience after a while, is that as you begin to really get in the Word and start to really apply, and the goal is, you know, to live like Jesus and respond like Jesus, which was completely against everything in my nature, is that as you begin to do it with your prodigal, you find that it just comes so naturally in other situations. And then that's something to really just praise God about, you know, because that's part of the good that God is bringing out of this trial right now, you know, is that it's not just for our prodigal spouse, but then we begin to apply that same forgiveness that we have for them in other situations. And for me personally, it's just made my daily walk and just a lot easier.
Well, let me amen that. And let me see how I'll go into this. I can be sleeping at nighttime and turn over and touch Charlene or rub up against her, something to disturb her. And the first thing she says out of her mouth while she's barely awake, I'm sorry. And she hadn't done anything. I'm the one that got across the middle of the bed. So she is an example of forgiveness beyond anything. Apart from Jesus, she's my example of forgiveness.
And that's, well, mine
not,
too.
That's not the most, that is the most on my wife too, I guess. But it's not beyond what any man or woman could do.
Well, you know, thank you, honey. That was a beautiful birthday gift. But, you know, the other thing is, and may I bring up another subject, is a D word, and it's called doubt.
Mm.
Everybody, that these questions that we're getting today is that I'm weary, I'm discouraged, I'm starting to doubt. And do you believe that God's going to restore every marriage? And everybody keeps saying, you know, I'm wondering, does God really hear me? Does he really want me to stand? And I think when we start reading all these scriptures like we have today, I think God is telling us to endure and remove that doubt. What is the opposite of doubt? Is believing. Doubt is coming with discouragement. It's the opposite of believing. I think of Luke chapter 1, and I love to teach about Christmas, and I already have recorded our Christmas teaching, which is going to be coming up, and everybody is going to be able to get it, is the Christmas story. It's a story of obedience, and oh, I hope everybody gets it, because it says Zacharias had an angel glowing before him and telling him when he was a priest that he's going to bear a son named John, and he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord, and many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. It says in Luke 1 verse 17, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit of power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers, the parents, to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now here is this beautiful, glowing angel telling Zechariah the very first thing he said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayers have been heard." Mm-hmm. Now, I want to tell you, everybody that is praying, that's on this phone listening to us, believe God is hearing your prayers unless you have got sin in your life and God is revealing it to you over and over. You need to confess your sins. You need to ask for forgiveness of your sins. But your other after than that, that like we talked about, there's hindrances to prayers. It's on our internet. Get it and double check your spiritual walk. But here is Zechariah having the Lord give him such a powerful message of what that Elizabeth, at old age, is going to bear a child, a miracle. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." Is that not what every one of us are saying? How do I know that I know my marriage is going to be restored? How do I know that I know my son is going to get saved? How do I know that I know my daughter is going to be delivered from drugs? How do I know that I know that my grandchildren are not going to fall into sexual sins? You know what? There comes a point where we have got to believe and trust in our Lord and pray and believe. And the angel said, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until this day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Dear Stander, stop doubting, but believe. Trust. Have faith. Believe in your Lord God. Can do anything. You know, Ephesians 3:20, and I'm going to open it up to you guys again, but Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." We have got to come to the point that we're not so angry that we say, "God, go sick him. You know, I want my spouse to be punished. I want him to bear all the suffering and the pain that I've gone through." Because we got to remember, we're standing in the gap for our husbands, our wives, our children, our grown children who are not walking with the Lord. To inverse Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." First thing on our list, we tell everybody, regardless of if your marriage is restored, pray for their salvation. That if they have a sudden accident, your child has a sudden accident, something happens, that they know that we know that they know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's uttermost, most important. So, jump in with all
you
what
know,
I've
going back,
said.
Jumping back to another subject, when you were talking about doubt, one of Charlene's favorite writers is Dr. Elmer Towns, T-O-W-N-S. He has some fantastic material. He's done on, he's done a book with Neil Anderson. He also writes a lot of the fasting books that Charlene enjoys. This morning in Sunday school, he said, "You will always have doubts because you have an old sin nature. We all do." And then he went on to say, "The cure for the doubts is to open the Bible and read Scripture."
Mm-hmm. I know you told me that, and I was so thrilled when you said you remembered to say it. That is awesome. Either one of you, any comments?
Yeah, I do. I mean, this is such a key topic because, you know, I think if for any of us who are called to stand for any length at all, doubts are natural. But, you know, and I think, you know, one of the things that I've found in reading the Bible is, you know, the more I read the Bible, the more I start to understand God's heart. And, you know, there's an answer for every situation in the Bible for certain, but it's not... it doesn't describe every situation. You know, what sometimes we have to just understand who God is.
Exactly.
You know, when he says in Isaiah 30:18, one of my all-time favorite verses, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. You know, I take a verse like that and I say, you know what, God is for me. And you can get that out of Romans 8 in spades. You know, God is for us. You know, and can we grasp that and hold on to that when all else around us is you know, looks like trouble and is tearing down our hope? Can we go back and say, but, you know, this I call to mind, and therefore I will, you know, have hope. You know, it's because of God's compassion and his grace that he, you know, he loves us. You know, it's and you're going to find it, you know, I'm getting too emotional. I can't even quote it right, but that was Lamentations 3. And there's hundreds of incredible verses in the Bible that talk about how awesome God is, how much he's for us. And so, you know, will God save every marriage? Well, we know the answer is no, he won't. But that doesn't mean he doesn't want to. He wants all of us to be, you know, God says that he's not willing that any should perish, and yet we know that there will be many that will perish. It's not because he wants them to, you know, and he gives us the grace to stand. The question at the end of the day isn't whether he will give us the grace to stand. The question isn't whether he wants us, our marriage, to be healed. The question isn't whether he wants our spouses to come to know him. The question is, will we be faithful? Will we take the grace he's given? And, you know, at the end of the day, I just want the answer for me to be, yes, Lord, I will do that. By the grace you give, I'll take it, and I'll stand, and I'll wait to see what you do with that.
Robert, that's so, like, I appreciate that, and I understand exactly where you're coming from, because, you know, that was one of the things I struggled with initially is, you know, if, like, we're all believing the same things and praying the same scriptures, then, you know, why isn't my spouse home yet?
Right.
You know, and I love that when I began to understand it in terms of the assignment, and just I have to remind myself sometimes that God operates outside of time. I don't. You know, because I was so angry in the beginning with, like, you know, I'm standing up there giving my vows, you know, God knew this was going to happen. And I was just like, why? You know, why would you, you know, allow this just in your sovereignty? And when I began to try and see it a different way, it's just that doubt is from the enemy. And it goes very closely with the circumstances, because I find for me that it's the circumstances that make me doubt. You know, because I have an opposite problem, or not problem, but just in my situation, I just want to say this, that if you just remember that I can't remember if it's Don or Peter, I feel really bad, I think it was Peter who stepped out of the boat, that as long as he was looking at Jesus, he was walking on the water, but when he looked down, he started to sink. And you know, because I've purposed, and someone even said to me, you know, because I tried at the beginning to get everyone on board with me that, yeah, we're going to stand for this marriage. It's not over. God will breathe life into it. The thing that I had to remember was just, like, I was the one that I couldn't doubt, because doubt is of the enemy, and it's like it will start to go around in your mind, like, you know, maybe they're right. I mean, maybe I'm going to be one of the ones that it's not going to happen for me. But I try and pray that out in those moments, right, and just remember, you know, I got to keep my eyes on Jesus, and I got to keep my eyes. And I realized in the beginning I was being really selfish, because my whole goal, like the whole reason that I was standing for my marriage, was because of my need for companionship and to not be alone.
Right.
It wasn't about my husband.
And to pay our bills and to have a nice house again.
Yes.
And to get gas in the car and to have gas in the house when it's freezing out. I understand that. And that's the neat part about it. It is about me at first, but you know what? It doesn't have to stay that way.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
And when I got very broken before the Lord, you know, and I remember that moment very clearly, and it was, I love when you said in my closet, because that's where it happened for me. just crying out to God and for the first time just realizing, and I was just over and over again, God, I can't do this, I can't do this. Because I'd been all this time wanting God to help me fix my marriage, and that's not what God wanted. God wanted me to surrender everything and leave it at His feet and just sit there and listen to what He was going to ask me to do.
Right.
And then when the circumstances got so bad, on the backside now I'm grateful, because I had to lose everything to find out that God wanted to be everything.
Right.
And then if I would just focus on that and understand and trust Him, you know, then, and I don't doubt. There's days I get weary, but now, I mean, I refuse to go to a single bed, even though this room is too small for a double bed, and I try and keep that half of the closet clear because, you know, the doubt will bring you down, and it's
right.
the total opposite of the faith, and they don't exist together. And so when I have moments of doubt, I try and remember 2 Chronicles 20:15, that the Lord said to not be afraid or troubled for reason of this vast problem. The battle's not mine, but God's.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amen.
Until the point of my stand, it had been my battle, and that's why it was losing. Because I wanted God to help me. I didn't want to understand that this is a battle that God already won through Jesus on the cross, and that I just have to be faithful and trust Him and just continue to pray and work on me and do what God's asking me to do right now in this season, and then He's going to work out the rest.
Okay, I've got to bring up two things because we're running out of time. We're going to need to go into prayer. But 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9 talks about, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And that is where we are at. Jesus, God sent His only Son to die on the cross for all sinners, and He is wanting everyone to get saved. He's wanting that other person, other persons, other family members, the other kids in that other house. He wants them all to get saved. He wants everybody to come to know the Lord, and we're the link to pray for those people, because there may be nobody else as a Christian that's praying for that other family or families that are part of this. We need to mention the children, because the children are a vital part. And Bob, with the questions we receive, is that we have adult children that are very angry with their father or mother and don't want to even have them ever walk back into the house, let alone have a relationship with them. We have little kids. We have rebellious teenagers. We have kids that have become prodigals because of the family member situation. There's all these different things. And Malachi 4:6, and we did Luke 1, chapter verse 17, which is a good one, but let's go back to Malachi chapter 4:6, and it's a scripture you can claim. It says He will turn the hearts of the fathers and parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers or parents, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. We need to teach our children at the youngest age, or even at teenagers, that we need to pray for those kids, that they will forgive and understand and have a spiritual walk that you've got. And we need to pray for our kids that they will walk the walk and understand what you're doing. They don't understand. They're probably not, many of them may not know the Lord Jesus Christ, because you didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ like you did, or you never knew the Lord Jesus Christ until you had your marriage problem. So your children are rebelling and angry and want to get on with their life. But let me tell you, bringing another man, another woman, is not the answer. They've already got another man, another woman in that other house situation, and they're having trouble dealing with that. They're trying to tell you how great it is or how much money they're spending. That does not matter. It's a counterfeit person. God is never going to honor it. And you've got to understand that even though your family is saying for you to move on with your life, remember what we're saying. Your marriage is a covenant. It's not a contract. You are married for life. You're one flesh. And if we can keep all these things focused in what the Word says, and that's why we have to read the Word, we need to pray for our children and turn the hearts to the children to their Lord Jesus Christ, to get them on fire for the Lord, get them involved in church in whatever way. Now, they're rebellious. They don't want to go to church. They're 17, 18. Then you're going to pray just for them, just like you're praying for your
husband or wife, but you don't give up on the kids. Don't listen to the kids. Explain that your husband, your wife has been deceived, been tempted, a prisoner of war. Explain it like an enemy has come in to your house through a crack or through, you know, you can do all different things. And you can even sign up for Charlene Cares for Kids, and we have devotionals that you can go back and read and may help you with your children that are maybe less than 13. Or you can even get devotional books at the Christian bookstore. But you need to get your kids to understand if they don't forgive their parents or their fathers or mothers for what they're doing, they're going to have a spiritual problem also. So I can give anybody 30 seconds to respond about this. Bob, anybody? Robert?
No, I mean, I just say amen to that. I don't know what I can add. It's we just have to pray for our kids every day.
We really, really do, because we don't want them to become angry and bitter, because if they get married and they walk in that marriage with an anger or unforgiveness toward a mother, a father, or anybody, there is a wall that they've started to build. And we don't want that. We want our kids to walk the walk and have a Christ-like life. And they raise their kids to be men and women of God, and teach them at a young age all about how much the Lord loves us.
But also, too, just really quick, too, for those who do have children, praise God, because you are showing them unconditional love in action that they have. And even though they might not be using it now, they will begin to see, you know, mom or dad loves like Christ. And so, you know, no matter what I do, they're still going to love me. And it's just like, if you can just model that, you know, just be grateful. I would be so grateful, you know, to know that I had a parent who was doing it Jesus' way and not the Lord's way. Because, you know, you don't ever know, like I said, before you even go into rebellion or after, to know and see that, which is something that I didn't experience. I have never experienced, you know, Christ-like love modeled in action. I didn't as a kid. So for the standards through this season, I know it's going to be really hard, but just understand that, you know, you're modeling for them, and they will have a peace and a security in knowing that, you know, right now I have one parent who can love like that, and we will believe in faith that there will be two.
The other thing that I get encouragement from, I should mention, and this is both related to my wife as well as our kids, and just to remind myself whenever I get discouraged that God loves my wife and my children more and better than I do. And I take, when I get that thought, that gives me huge comfort.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know, I picked up a hymnal in here looking for a song. I almost turned to it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. The second verse says, when darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. And then his oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. You know, we have 118 people listening right now, and I would imagine there's at least one person that feels that we've shot right over their head today. They don't understand who Jesus is or how he can help them. It's just a historical figure or someone who died and was crucified, but he came back to life, and he was crucified just for you. We have a page on our website, and it's, if you go to our rejoiceministries.org, you'll see a, looks like a yellow sticky that says the greatest news. And if you'll click on that, there's some information that will explain in real simple terms who Jesus is, the relationship he desires to have with you, and how you can have that relationship today. It's not about assurance of heaven, although that's part of it. It's about having the Holy Spirit to walk with you through everything you face tomorrow and Tuesday and all this week and all the rest of this year and all of next year. But I encourage you, if you feel like you're not real sure where you are with Jesus or where he is in your life, go there and look at the greatest news and read carefully what it says. Nancy, you spoke about hurting during the holidays or something to that effect. As we go to prayer, I want to tell you about one situation. I was sitting in church on a Sunday night in a Baptist church with another woman other than Charlene sitting beside me. And the kids were having their musical that night. And as they start to sing, I felt the tears coming. And all the mothers and fathers were sitting on the front row and had the cameras and the video cameras. And I thought about my kids are in another church probably doing about the same thing with my wife sitting there brokenhearted because I wasn't there. I had to leave that service. I stood in the parking lot and sobbed. You could hear the, it's a big church, but you could hear the music, the kids singing from coming through the windows and doors. But don't ever think that your prodigal has it all made. You may have so much anger, you're hoping they do hurt, but that's not what God wants. But just trust me that holidays, I'll be writing more about it as we get into December. But for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, your prodigal is hurting in a different way, but they're hurting just like you are.
And they also have a memory bank and are remembering. So let's go to prayer. Bob, you want to start?
Okay, we're going to have Beverly or Beatrice, one of our prayer partners, pick up the phone and get on and pray with us also, the two that are in the living room praying.
Great.
Father God, we thank you for making this afternoon possible. God, I pray for the prodigal represented by every person here. May you continue to touch prodigals. May you continue to work in ways that only you can, that we cannot orchestrate. God, we might as well just stay out of it and let you do it. But thank you for, Lord, for my wife, for her birthday today, and that she says, I'd like to have the conference call. We'll celebrate birthday another time. But Lord, we just thank you and we praise you that you have the answers. We can email, we can look for books, we can try to find answers, but you have them, God, and you want to share them with us. The answer, regardless of what it is, the bottom line is, it's Jesus. May you help every person listening right now to come to a relationship with Jesus or even to be in a better relationship. God, may you help these people who have given up Sunday afternoon. May you help them to enjoy the holidays, not just survive, but to have a blessed Thanksgiving and Christmas because you're going to be close to them. Lord, thank you for all of these people. God, thank you for Robert and for Nancy and for the wisdom they've shared today. I've been blessed by it, Father, and we just commit the balance of this time to you. I ask in your holy name. Amen.
Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in the stand of everyone that's on this phone and those that receive the emails daily, Lord. I just pray that you'll work powerfully in every life, Lord, that you would be seen in the world and that people could come to hear the good news about you, Lord. And we just praise you that it's only because of you that we even know what love is, that you laid down your life for us. And we praise you and we thank you, Jesus.
Father, I just thank you for this time and that you are an everlasting God and the same God who spoke the universe into existence and breathed life into people, Father God, that you're as sovereign today as you always have been. And I just thank you and praise you for being the reason that we're able to have hope and just continue to trust in you and that you order our steps, Father, and that we just continue to look to you for our everything, for our finances, for our emotional needs, Father, and just let you meet them because we know that you are a God and you do want what's best for us, Father, and that you, there's nothing that we are suffering that and just remember that we're not alone, Father, that there are standers all over praying for us, and that we just continue to understand that, that even without that, you would be enough. And we just ask that you touch the hearts of prodigals, Father, and just help us to see them how you see them, and just understand that we'll never give up on them because we know you never have. And we just thank you for that in the name of your Son, Jesus.
Lord, I want to lift up to you the Steinkamp's granddaughter, Ashley, and just ask, Lord, that you would heal her. And, Lord, I pray that you give a diagnosis and that she could be healed. But, Lord, even if you don't give a diagnosis, just heal her directly. We know that you have the power to do this. And I just pray that you would bless this wonderful family that you have touched in a way to bless so many lives. I just pray that you'd continue to give another testimony of your incredible power, Lord. And yet we want your will done, and we know that your will is best, and we praise you for that. And so by your will, Lord, touch and heal and bless, we pray in Jesus' name.
Lord, we just praise you and we just thank you for every single person that has been listening in today. And Lord, we just thank you for Nancy and Robert being so transparent and being so open about what they've had to walk their walk through standing. And Lord, we just ask that you would really just go and touch every one of these families that are represented on this phone, and oh, then go and touch all the ones that have not been able to because of time commitments or other commitments that they have. But Lord, we just ask that you would touch all our standers around the world, and that you would touch them, block and stop the divorces, touch the husbands and wives to come to their senses, to escape from the trap of the enemy, that you would go and break the chains of bondages, of addictions, of drugs or alcohol or adultery or anger or bitterness or rage or unforgiveness or whatever is causing them to not to surrender their heart to you, Lord, and repent and confess their sins, and that they also would run quickly to you, asking the Lord to touch them. And then, Lord, we ask that you would also touch them, that they would be totally repentant, confessing their sin, to have godly sorrow, and turn their hearts to you and back to their families. And I think of how many times you told in the New Testament with Jesus, after he touched and healed somebody, he would say, go home and tell them what I have done. And Lord, we do pray that all the prodigals would go home to their families quickly and suddenly through the next several weeks of holidays. We are just praying for a mighty harvest. And Lord, you said that the fields are ready. And Lord, we just need a lot of workers for the harvest. And Lord, we just pray that you will send so many people into these standers and into the prodigals' lives to encourage them and to speak to them the truth. As Bob had a man of God open up the Word of God, not at the time he came home, but to prepare him to come home, to tell him the truth, and that the other woman was a counterfeit, not the one that he should be going home to. So Lord, we just pray that you will just use this holiday season, these songs, these concerts, these children cantatas, these regular, all the different things that we have remembrance of. May you bring all these memories back to our husbands and wives, that they will want to come home for the holidays. And we have already heard just this week that one husband has said, I want to come home over for the Christmas holidays and spend it with the kids and you. Mm-hmm. So Lord, we know that you're touching hearts, and we know you can touch and change and transform them completely. And we ask you to transform our hearts first, and then transform our spouses and our children's hearts, that we'd be all one in accord, and renew our minds and take that battle away from me and from all the people that have the devil come and attack our minds as Nancy shared. Lord, we just ask that you will show us that we need to have unconditional love, as in 1 Corinthians 13, that love is patient, love is kind, will not envy, we will not boast, we will not be proud, that Baba Charlene will not be rude. This is how I prayed it when I did it so many years ago. Bob and I will not be self-seeking, will not be easily angered. Bob and I will keep no record of wrongs, because love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. We will always protect, always trust, always hope, always persevere, because love never fails. Oh, Lord, I pray that you will speak to prodigals in dreams and visions and give them, terrify them of warnings of to turn man from their pride and from their sinful lifestyle. Lord, I pray that you would remove that other person, as it says in Hosea 2, verses 6 and 7, that they will, you will block their pathway with thorn bushes and wall them in so they cannot find their way. They will chase after their lovers, but they will not catch them. They will look for them, but not find them. They will go back and say, I'll go back to my spouse as at first, for then I was better off than now. Oh, Lord, we will take these scriptures and we will stand on them and believe in them. And we know that we're one flesh, and we will believe that nothing, nothing is impossible. And we thank you that you are going to resurrect and breathe new life into these dead marriages. And we're going to remove the doubt. We're going to have faith, hope, and trust, and believe, and endurance. And Lord, we ask that you would touch all these standards who are having financial problems, that you shall supply all of our needs. There are people that we know need financial miracles. We know that they need jobs. They need cars that are going to run. They need a place to sleep. They need to be able to pay their bills. Lord, you are the only one that can orchestrate all of this, and we're asking that you will do this supernaturally through the next 2 months to pay the extra needs for us to have money for Thanksgiving dinner and be able to have Christmas gifts for our little children that don't have anything right now. Lord, we are coming to you. You are the Lord, and you are the provider, and we just ask that you will just move all the mountains of every one of these unspoken prayer requests that these standards are thinking of right now, and they're not able to pray because of all the noise that we will be hearing. But Lord, we're just asking them to lift up their most urgent need right now as we do it. Rejoice Pompano, that everybody just speak out loud right now that are here that are not tuned in, to be able to speak and pray out your most urgent need of what it is right now that you need this very week. Speak it out to your Lord, because he hears you, and he is going to answer your prayers. And we're just going to pray in agreement. Where two or three are gathered together, we're going to pray, Lord, that you would answer all of these people's unspoken and spoken requests right now, and that you will meet their needs this week like never before, and that we know that we're not by ourselves, but we're together praying for each other. And, oh, Lord, may we remember to pray for each other every day, and we not just think of ourselves. And, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for all what you're going to do. We thank you for today. We thank you for providing the monies for this telephone conference. We thank you for the people who tune in and getting hope and encouragement. We thank you that we even have the means to be able to put this up on Message Share today, and it will be there for all the other people that hundreds will listen to tonight and this week. We just praise you and thank you for what you have given us. And we just give you all the glory and honor and praise. Amen.
If we can help you in any way, we invite you to visit the website of Rejoice Marriage Ministries at www.rejoiceministries.org. Thanks for joining us today as we proclaim that God heals hurting marriages.